Now, according to the Associated Press, former Vice President Joe Biden is 25 delegates away from securing the Democratic nomination for president. In Tuesday's primaries, Biden won 7 states and the District of Columbia, putting him at 1,966 delegates. You need 1,991. He'll likely get there next week when Georgia and West Virginia hold their contests. Many people now are wondering who his running mate will be. He gave us a clue during his debate with Senator Bernie Sanders back in March.
If I'm elected president, my cabinet, my administration will look like the country. And I commit that I will, in fact, pick a woman to be vice president. There are a number of women who are qualified to be president tomorrow. I would pick a woman to be my vice president.
Since last week's death of George Floyd and the protests that followed, calls have been increasing for Biden to choose a black woman. At a campaign event in Delaware on Monday, Biden said he's considering multiple African-American women, along with Latinas and Caucasians. David Schultz is a professor of political science at law at Hamline University and professor of law at the University of Minnesota. David, good to have you back on the show.
It's my pleasure to be on the show again.
Well, before we dig into what the criteria are for a vice presidential selection, do you have thoughts on who a front runner or two might be right about now?
Yeah, right now I would pick two people in terms of the likely front runners. One is Kamala Harris, who's the senator from California. And then the second choice, I think, might be Val Demings, who's a representative from Florida. And for people who might sort of recognize her name, she was also one of the managers who prosecuted the impeachment charges against Donald Trump in the U.S. Senate earlier this year. It almost seems like an eternity ago to be talking about the impeachment.
Now, how much, first of all, in terms of an election outcome, how much does a choice of a running mate matter historically?
Historically, this is sort of one of the great myths, I think, of presidential politics, that there's been several of us, including me, who've done a lot of sort of research into this, some statistical quantitative analysis. And for the most part, vice presidents really don't matter that much. There's very little evidence that vice presidents sway maybe more than maybe a couple percent of the popular vote. There's very little evidence that vice presidents help in terms of, let us say, helping you pick up their home state. So the impact is small. The one vice presidential candidate in recent history that mattered the most was Sarah Palin. And she probably hurt John McCain a little bit in the general election, although she probably helped him with the conservative base within his party. So we have to start by saying that at a time when in the United States where barely half the American public knows the name of the vice president of the United States, thinking that the public is highly motivated by a vice presidential choice is a slightly overblown claim to make.
How about this as a strategy or a way of thinking? I'm a presidential candidate and there's a section of my party that has doubts about me, and I want to assuage those doubts with my choice so they're going to be enthusiastically behind me. So if I'm a Donald Trump and I'm not sure that, you know, evangelicals certainly don't see me as one of their own coming into the presidential election, I pick Mike Pence, who they see as one of their own, and maybe Joe Biden has a similar scenario now.
Yes, I think so. And I think you make a very good point here, is that Mike Pence helped Donald Trump cement the evangelical vote in the same way that John McCain was very effective when he picked Sarah Palin to get the more conservative aspect of his party. So now we have to think in terms of Joe Biden, who has the reputation, maybe deserved, maybe undeserved, within the Democratic Party as being somewhat more of a centrist, more of a moderate, and therefore to win over perhaps the more liberal, let's say the Bernie Sanders supporters, the Elizabeth Warren supporters. He needs to pick somebody that will be more liberal. And at the same time, we know that women, especially suburban women, are a critical constituency within the Democratic Party. In 2016, suburban women stayed home. Donald Trump won. In 2018, in the midterm election, suburban women showed up to vote. Democrats did well. So I think Biden was looking at saying, okay, I need to put a woman on the ticket that helps me with the female vote. Now he's probably looking at saying, I need to maybe get somebody who is, say, more liberal or has a reputation of being more liberal. and perhaps, and you opened up by this, especially given the events in the last week with Mr. Floyd's killing or murder and the protests, maybe he needs to be selecting a woman of color at this point also.
David Schultz is with us, political scientist and law professor at Hamline University, also professor of law at the University of Minnesota, looking at possible running mate selections for Joe Biden. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. If you want to make a case for a particular running mate or against one for that matter, what are you looking for? Wherever you are on the political spectrum, does it matter to you who is the vice presidential candidate for either party, any party? 800-642-1234 is the number. David, let's follow up on that last point. This week of protests after the death of George Floyd, talk about how that might affect, if at all, Joe Biden and who he's looking for here.
Well, I think it affects it in a couple of ways, and especially it affects individuals in a couple of ways also. And by that, I think given the fact that besides women, people of color, especially African Americans, are a very core constituency to the Democratic Party. We know that Joe Biden has generally received strong support from African Americans, but he needs them to turn out in very strong numbers. So it is possible, given what's happened in the last week, that the pressure shifts toward saying that he has to consider not just a female who he's already committed to, but saying a woman of color, more perhaps even more likely African American. Now, this also bodes against somebody. Now, one of my two senators, I'm in Minnesota, is Amy Klobuchar. Amy Klobuchar is on the fairly short list for most people in terms of their estimation as a vice presidential candidate for Joe Biden. I think her candidacy for the vice presidency took a major blow in the last week. And I say that because the officer who is charged with second-degree murder allegedly for killing Mr. Floyd was an individual who had also killed another civilian back in early, about 2006, I think it was, 2004, when Amy Klobuchar was the county attorney or county prosecutor. And one of the issues that's dogged Amy Klobuchar during this campaign is her prosecutorial record and allegations that she was insensitive to issues of people of color. Now bring this up to the fact that this officer had killed somebody else back then. She declined to prosecute. And now the issue of race policing is in the news. I think Amy Klobuchar took a major hit. I could also say that I'm in St. Paul, and what happened today was that George Floyd's memorial and funeral was today, and Amy Klobuchar showed up at the funeral, and that the communities of color, the people of color in Minnesota were quite angry about her showing up. Now, I think they would have been angry, and people would have been angry if she didn't show up. And I mention this because I think she's in a precarious situation. Should she have gone? Should she not have gone? But that controversy, I think, hurts her as Joe Biden and his staff is vetting her and other candidates for vice president.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Rich with us in Door County. Rich, hello.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Rich?
Well, I've analyzed this a bit as well, and I think the 2% swing that your guest talks about is probably correct. However, I think we're in a different position this year, and I'm of the opinion that Mr. Biden could run his pet rock as a vice presidential candidate, and he's safe in the pursuit of the presidency in this year.
Rich, thanks for the call. I'd have to double-check the Constitution on the rock for vice president. Sorry, pet rock, not the rock. But Rich feels confident that Biden would win no matter who. Is it that cut and dried, the outcome in November?
No, it's not. No, Yeah, no, it's not that cut and dry. As I analyze it at this point, now remember, it's not the popular vote that elects the presidency. It's the race to get to 270 electoral votes. As I see it right now, there's about 43 states that are pretty locked in at this point in terms of where we know where they're going to go. I have a guess that somewhere around 211 electoral votes are locked in for Biden. Around 206, 207 approximately are locked in for Trump. There's about 111 electoral votes in play, including Wisconsin. And if you look at those seven swing states, the polls are pretty close at this point. We've got states like what? Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Arizona. Right now, it's so volatile that I wouldn't say it's a lock in the Electoral College. I would go as far as saying that I think Biden probably wins the popular vote, probably wins it by as great a number, if not greater number or percentage than Hillary Clinton won back 4 years ago. But it's not the popular vote. It's the Electoral College. And right now in those swing states, it's just too close to call.
Thanks a lot for the call. We're talking about potential running mates for Joe Biden. David Schultz is with us, professor of political science at law at Hamline University and professor of law at the University of Minnesota. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have someone you want to see running at Joe Biden's side? How important is the pick to you in general? Does it matter to you who a running mate is in a presidential race for either party? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about potential running mates for Joe Biden. He won eight more Democratic primaries this week as he inches closer to locking up the nomination for president. David Schultz is with us, professor of political science and law at Hamline University, professor of law at the University of Minnesota. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Who do you want to see as a running mate for the Democrats? Who don't you want to see? You can name names or characteristics or whatever. 800-642-1234 is the number. Back to your calls now. Steve is with us in Whitewater. Steve, hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Steve?
Well, I just wanted to bring up the point that I think whoever that we as Americans are nominating for representing us, that we should look at what their ideas are and elect them or choose them based on that rather than, external features or characteristics, whether it be skin color, whether it be, well, they're a woman or their sexuality. I think that what their ideas are and what the content of their character is far more important than any of those external characteristics of them. And I would encourage all of my fellow Americans to vote based on the content and the
ideas.
Got
it, Steve. Thanks a lot for the call. Steve saying, hey, let's not tick off demographic boxes here. David, what do you think?
Well, I think that's admirable. And I think a lot of us would like to follow that. And he's basically paraphrasing the famous speech of Martin Luther King Jr. saying it's not the color of our skin, but the content of our character. But having said that, the powerfulness of identity politics in America is so great now that I think it's hard to get beyond that. That I think there are constituencies of African-Americans, women, so forth, that do view electing somebody who looks like them very important, and who want to see in our office holders people who demographically represent them, who might share their experiences. And I think that's going to be a very powerful driver yet again this year. Whether we like it or not is a different story, but I think the reality is that the power of identity is real and it's not going away in the near future.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Jolie now in Mason. Jolie, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
I've always been a big fan of Tammy Duckworth. I think she has grit. She's highly intelligent, a combat veteran, and I think she'd do great as a VP for our country.
Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth, has she been on shortlist, David?
She's not been talked about as being on the short list, but she would bring a lot of, I think, interesting things to the vice presidency. I want to throw in, though, another dimension to think about here in terms of factors to consider for the vice presidency, is that the battle is not just for the presidency this year, but also for control of the U.S. Senate. And I think one of the things that has to be thought about here is, let us say, whether it's a Kamala Harris, it's an Elizabeth Warren, it's an Amy Klobuchar, let's say even if it were Tammy Baldwin, perhaps, as a possibility. What are the chances then of if the Democrats were to win and then have a senator leave, become vice president, can they replace that person in the Senate? And I think, although Illinois, it might be possible and pretty likely, but I think Biden and the Democrats are going to be thinking about that as an issue also in terms of how likely can they hold that seat. And I think that might be one thing, for example, that works against somebody like an Elizabeth Warren, where it's a Republican governor. If she steps down to become vice president, Republican governor gets to appoint somebody. And we know in the past that they're electing Republicans in Massachusetts. So we've also seen Republicans elected statewide office in Illinois. So these are factors to consider.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jolie. We're talking to David Schultz from Hamline University, looking at possible vice presidential choices for Joe Biden, the more or less sure thing Democratic candidate for president. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll go back to your calls now. Landon is with us in Barneveld. Landon, hi.
Hi, I was just calling to see, I know earlier on in the election cycle, Stacey Abrams was possibly on the shortlist, but I haven't really heard a whole lot about her being on the shortlist in the more recent week. I was wondering if our speaker still thought that was a possibility. Thank you.
Thanks. So sure. Stacey Abrams, who had had outperformed Democrats' usual performance running for governor of Georgia.
Yes, Stacey Abrams, I think, is on the short list. I'm not sure where she fits in, though, in terms of Biden's, let's say, real short list in terms of where it is. Now, liberals love Stacey Abrams, and I think she would bring a lot in terms of helping the liberal vote. I think one of the concerns, and also, by the way, she's from Georgia, and Democrats would like to try to put Georgia in play if possible. I think the thing that bodes against her, though, is the fact that there are some people who claim and say that she lacks the experience to become president of the United States, you know, having been what I think was the Georgia legislature, and that they're concerned about to what extent that might factor into people's minds, much in the same way that when McCain was picked, had the nomination for president, when Sarah Palin was selected as vice president, the worry was, with McCain being so old, if something happened, what would happen if Palin got in? And I think that's the similar thinking here. I'm not saying she is or is not qualified. That's something for other people to make a judgment on. But I think that's a factor that's being considered with Stacey Abrams at this point.
Let's go back to your calls now. Peggy is with us in Viroqua. Peggy, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a veteran, and the divisiveness right now in our country is horrific. I wasn't able to protest my age and everything else. I need to worry about the pandemic, too. But I want to see Kamala Harris or Kamala. Oh, I've got that wrong. Kamala Harris or Amy Klobuchar. I want one of them. Hopefully that they will make it with Biden. We've got to pull our country together. Kamala Harris has the legal background, and Amy Klobuchar, she's got the Midwestern background. And one of
Peggy, I'm going to jump in because we just have a couple minutes left. Now, Peggy mentioned Kamala Harris. Some people point back to some tough exchanges in the debates when Kamala Harris was still running for president. Is it easy enough to put those moments behind us when we're trying to form a presidential ticket?
I think, you know, they always use the expression, what, politics makes strange bedfellows. And I think the art of politics is one day being adversaries and the next day working together. And even though Harris got very close to almost putting Joe Biden out of the race. I mean, she was very, very aggressive with him. I think at the end of the day, that will be ignored. What I find interesting with Kamala Harris is that if you had asked me 7 months ago, what's the likely Democratic ticket, I would have said Biden and Harris. If you ask me now, I still say it's Biden and Harris. I'm going to throw out one other oddity. This the woman who just called said she would like to see the country come together. She's not on the short list, but what if Joe Biden picked somebody like Condoleezza Rice and reached across the aisles or something? I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be an interesting possibility to consider also.
In our last few moments, David, I know you aren't reading anybody's minds here, but what do you think about the idea of timing, when an announcement could or should come out, just in our last 30 seconds or so?
Sure. I think he's going to wait till very close, right before when the Democratic convention was supposed to occur, partly because they're doing the public vetting at this point, likes to make everybody sort of think they're still in. I suspect he already knows who it is at this point. He's just not telling anybody it is, but we'll wait till an appropriate point where it can have the biggest impact, again, right before the convention.
David, thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure. Thank you to the audience.
David Schultz is professor of political science and law at Hamline University and professor of law at the University of Minnesota. He joined us today for a look at Joe Biden's potential running mates and how George Floyd's death and recent protests could affect his choice.